Oops. Okay. How are you guys? Good? Awesome. It's been a nice couple of days since we've been here. Probably the Brazil staff is going to say this over and over, but we are just so thankful to be here and to be received as we've been received by you. And it's just such a joy to be a part of this family, people we don't even know, people we're meeting for the first time today. And it's just a pleasure and a privilege to live with the Lord. If you don't know what that is yet, we beg of you to try and find that out. So today, we are talking about a great experiment. In fact, the greatest experiment that has ever been done. What do you think that is? I have a clue there. Come on. The crown, right? The crown stands for a king, right? Can you tell me a name of a king in the Bible? David or Solomon, right? So we're talking about Solomon this morning. And the experiment, in fact, was to find the meaning of life. And that's a very big experiment, if you ask me. I mean, people have been trying to do this like for I don't know how long, because I'm not very good at history. But people have been trying to do that for a very long time, right? And if you were to find the meaning of life, what do you think you would need? What? A map. You might need a map, right? Come on, imagine you've just been dropped on a planet and you have to find the meaning of life. What do you need? Information. Okay. Someone else to help you? Come on, you're too Christian. Money, right? That's what I'm talking about. You need money. How do you know what's the meaning of life is? Maybe the meaning of life isn't having a Porsche. I don't know, right? Or 10 Porsches or a Ferrari. I don't even know what. I don't know. I haven't even got close to one of those. Anyways. But maybe money. You definitely need money, right? Who knows? Maybe it's having a big house. And maybe it's, I don't know, helping all of the world. So you may need money to help all of the world, right? What else? What? Food. Absolutely. That's one of my kind of people right there. Yeah, of course, right? Because food is just so good, the meaning of life may be in it, right? I mean, to enjoy a good meal, a churrasco with our friends, right? It's going to do that like Saturday. What else? What? Examples, right? Yeah, look to the people who came before you and try to figure that out. Can you do that with, if you have like 1 year, do you think that's a good time to find out the meaning of life? If you have 1 day, do you think that's enough? No, so you need time, right? You need plenty of time because you are going to try many, many different things in order to see if the meaning of life is there, right? If in order to find what you're looking for is truly there. Because maybe it's in cars, but maybe it's in surfing, maybe it's in snowboarding, maybe it's in playing soccer for the Brazilian guys, right? Maybe it is, I don't know, in cooking nice meals for your friends. Maybe it is in one relationship. Who knows? So you definitely need time. What else would help you? If you're pretty, right? Being pretty would help you, because then you would get what you want more easily, right? Because people tend to like people who are pretty, right? Or being famous also, right? Being famous may help you, because if I put up a post on Facebook saying, hey guys, I need $1,000 for whatever. Okay, or, hey guys, Peter needs $1,000 for whatever. Nobody's going to give $1,000 for Peter because it's me asking, right? But if I'm very famous and I say, hey guys, Peter needs $1,000 for whatever, people are going to give $1,000 to Peter because I'm famous, right? So that may help you. That buys influence, right? There's an author in Brazil who talks about, social capital, if that makes sense. Like you have financial capital, which is money, but people have social capital. So if you're very famous, you have influence, you have power, you can buy stuff with your influence and your power. You can buy a place in a World Cup final if you're influential, right? There's a Brazilian YouTuber, Instagrammer who got to the World Cup just by doing YouTube videos. So his social capital grew so much that somebody took him there and said, hey, go to the World Cup for free, we'll pay for you, right? Because that's social capital. He didn't have any money to do that. He just started a channel and then all of a sudden he was in the World Cup. In the field with the players. That's where he got with social capital. So you might need that also, right? What else? You might need power, right? I mean, what good is that if you want to build a road and you can't build a road because nobody lets you? So you need power, right? You need political power, all kinds of power, if you want to find the meaning of life, right? I don't know. But let's start thinking about some things. Oh, and this is going to be a little painful. I will say that in advance. So we have some critical questions that all of us ask ourselves. And those questions are really serious, and they really determine the way we live our lives. And it's just easily observable. Does that make sense? It's really, you can really see that if you just look around and you look at how people are living, it's very clear. We're going to get to that. And these questions, they are taken from a book called A Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. It's a book written mainly for men, but women also are welcome to reading. It's about the masculine soul, maybe, the heart of man. It's about the heart of man. And it's a really good book, really, really good book. So if you haven't seen it or read it, I encourage you to do so. And the first question is, am I truly loved? Am I truly loved? And this question is really serious, because that really determines how people live their lives. If you don't think you're truly loved, you're going to start doing stuff to be truly loved, right? And you can just see, like, kids are a very easy example of how they want to be loved, right? They want to be loved. They want you to see what they're doing and encourage them on what they're doing, right? And you can see that in everyone's life, pretty much, right? No one wants to be unhappy, right? Anybody here wants to be unhappy? No, we don't have any smart people here, right? So, of course, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be loved. It's not wrong to be loved or to be happy, right? Am I speaking any nonsense here? No, right? Everybody wants to be happy. They're looking at me like, not sure. But hey, that influences how you live your life. I'm going to talk a little bit about my story. When I was a kid, my family was Christian. Is Christian. So I went to Sunday school and, you know, all of the programs for kids and such. And I really wanted to be loved and accepted by everyone. So what I did is I was a good boy, right? Because that's what you do if you want to be loved and accepted. You're a good boy. You do your homework. You paint the nice drawings they give you to paint. You do whatever you have to. And then you are loved. You are accepted. Correct? Yes, that's how kids think, right? That's not necessarily correct because, okay, I'm not going to start. Okay, anyways. But I realized that church public was not the only public I lived with. I lived with my colleagues, right? My little buddies. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to mess around. So if I wanted to be loved and accepted by them, I had to get in their motion, you know? I had to throw a rock wherever or to do something bad, because then they would like me and accept me. And that's kind of how it works, right, for kids. It's you try to fit in, right? Because fitting in is better than not fitting in, because then you're excluded, and then that feels like you're not loved, right? And you want to be loved. You want to be accepted. So this question, and I want you to think a little bit about your life, about how this question has been influencing your life. And because when we don't feel loved, we start doing these things and we start putting up masks. Because I wasn't the kid who wanted to mess around. I was just doing that because my buddies wanted me to be accepted, just so I was part of their group. And then suddenly the first question on the other side pops in. Who are you? Right? Because if you're just trying to do stuff to please other people, do you really have, like, an identity, or are you just trying to cover and create masks and facades, if that makes sense, for other people to like you and appreciate you, and you don't even care about who you are? You're just blocking that. You're just not caring about that. And you're just living a front. My grandfather used to say that sometimes in those kinds of lunch or big dinners that you have with a lot of people, people are there just representing. You know, they're not just being who they are, because you have to be a nice person, you have to start a conversation, and sometimes you don't want to do that, but you do that to be a part of it, right? To fit in. And sometimes I don't feel like it, but I have to, because that, if I want to be loved and accepted, I do that. Right? That's how stuff works. The second question for men mostly is, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? When things come down to me, do I have what it takes to provide for my family? Do I have what it takes to guide my wife? Do I have what it takes to win in life, or to, you know, to be a successful person, or even just to survive, you know? Just to, do I have what it takes? When my kids need me, do I have what it takes? And that question sometimes haunts us, because we have a big fear that we don't have what it takes. It's just, it's terrifying not having what it takes when it comes to you, right? And it is. Like, when my soccer team needs me, do I have what it takes? And that really defines guys. Because if I don't have what it takes, then I don't feel like a man. Or I don't feel like a person that is worthy of a life, you know. And then I start putting myself down, and things start go spiraling down, and things just get hard. And the last one, it's for guys, but it's also a lot for girls, is, am I admirable? Am I worthy of loving? Right? And then you can see all sorts of stuff. People trying to feel loved, and people trying to be admired by how they look, by what they have, by how they walk, by how they take pictures, by whatever. Because they are scared that if they are themselves, they are not really admirable. So they have to be admirable. They have to do something to be admirable. And then life starts getting frustrating, because people don't admire you sometimes. Even though if you post a nice picture, even though if you walk beautiful, even though if you're doing everything right, sometimes people will just not look at you because they're people. Right? Because they're people. They're looking at themselves the same way that you're looking at yourself. And everyone is just terrified in their own corner, just trying to do stuff to fit in and to be loved and to be, you know, and worried about what other people are going to think. My question is, how are you living your life? And of course, we're not going to have time to solve all of these huge life philosophical questions I threw. But hey, hopefully you can spend some time reflecting and thinking with the Lord. We are going to talk about a little of them, so don't worry. I'm just not going to throw them in. Okay, bye, guys. No, we're going to talk a little bit. But hopefully you have some time with the Lord reflecting, and He will help you figure these things out. So to be or to pretend, that's a big question everybody faces every day. Because sometimes you just don't want to look at that person, right? Or sometimes, I don't know, you're not feeling well. I mean, something bad happened at home, at your work, or with your family, and then somebody asks you, how are you? And then you say, fine. But you're not really fine, right? Or if the third question is pursuing you, am I admirable? Maybe you're pretending, because then you think you need to put up all these things to be admirable, to be pretty. And maybe you're pretending, you're not being yourself. You're doing that for other people. And that's really hard to face. So how do we deal with this, with these questions? We're going to talk a little bit about those with Solomon's story. And what are the consequences of those? And the question, the title of my sermon is, what are you searching for? Right? Because when you live your life as you are living your life, what are you searching for? I just wanted to... What is the term? You know, in Brazil we have stick cars, right? We drive stick gears. When you pull the brake, is it pull the brake? Okay, so when you pull, I just wanted to pull the brake a little bit, stop the car, because, you know, we've been running our lives so fast. I just wanted to take this morning to pull the brake and just to have a look at how we're living, because that's always something we have to do. Look at how we're living, because I'm going to show later some songs by a band I really love. It's called Switchfoot. It's a surf rock Christian band, and they have a song that it's "Life is short. I want to live it well," and because life is short, and we want to live it well. No person wants to live life poorly or not being happy, you know. So we have to think about this kind of stuff if we want to live our lives well, right? So. And that's a song, that's a line from a Brazilian song from a rock Christian band too. What's your identity to fit in? Because that's what we do sometimes. And it gets really tiring. I mean, when I was a kid, it's really tiring to put up all of those masks to in everywhere I go. Because with my dad, I have to be the good boy. And then at Sunday school, I have to be a good boy, but a different kind of good boy. And at school, I have to be a good student. And then with my friends, I have to be a nasty boy. You know? And then with the girls, they want me to, you know, and it's never ending. It's never ending what we demand of ourselves when you think about other people's opinions. And it's just so tiring and exhausting to be putting up that every day. And you're not being yourself because you just want to fit in. And that's not wrong, wanting to fit in. Please understand that. It's not wrong wanting to fit in, wanting to feel acceptable, wanting to feel loved, wanting to feel admirable. That's not bad at all. But how are we looking for those things? Right? How are we looking for those things? So we all have cravings, right? And I wanted to read Ecclesiastes. I'm going to read a bunch of Ecclesiastes today. But I wanted to start with chapter 3, verse 11. Oh, I forgot to say, but I'm glad, as you open, I'm glad that Brazil, I'm a little glad Brazil's not in the final of the World Cup, because then I have my 3 hours of sermon Pete promised me. Thank you, Pete. That's really helpful. This time I'm breaking the record. Okay, so Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. All right, so we're just reading verse 11, okay, just to start. It's talking about God's creation. This is Solomon writing, right? He, or God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I love this verse. I really love this verse. Because it says that God has set eternity into our hearts. And if you look around, that's really what everybody's looking for. Right? If you give a person 3 wishes, they want 1,000 wishes. That's their first wish, right? Because you always want more, right? There's a Brazilian song that says, I always want more than yesterday. I always want more than I can have. And that's true for food either, right? I mean, I always want one more piece of cheesecake. I just can't because it doesn't fit, you know? And I try sometimes. But we have that feeling that we want eternity in our hearts. And that translates in so many ways. That translates in professional success. So you want to reach the top, right? Or that goes for money because you want to be the richest, right? Or you don't, and sometimes you don't even want to be the richest, but you always want one more thing, right? Oh, you've reached the place you wanted to be, so you put a new goal, right? Oh, a former Brazilian president said, we're not going to establish a target. So, gotcha, everybody's awake now. So, she said, we're not going to establish a target, but once we've reached that target, we're going to double the target. That's pretty much how people work, right? Like, oh, I want to get there. But once you get there, you want to double it, right? Oh, I want to get that car. But once you get that car, you want to, I don't know, you want to modify it, or you want to buy a new one, or you have a new dream, because you always want a little bit more, right? And so if you want to be rich, once you're rich, you think, oh, but he is richer than I am. And so you, oh, I want to be richer than him. And then there's like Bill Gates at the end of the line. Sorry, you're never getting there. You're just not. And you're just not. And even if you get there, I am sorry to inform you that that will not satisfy you. Right? So God has set eternity into our hearts. And verse 11 says, yet we cannot fathom what God has done. So it's incredible, right? Like we always want something and we have this feeling that we're looking for something and we have this craving that we don't know what it is and we try to translate it in so many ways. And sometimes we start faking who we are so we can reach that. Maybe it's the social capital you've been looking for. Okay, have you guys, any of you guys watched Black Mirror? It's a very heavy series. It's, okay, no, very, no. One, two, yeah, the Brazilian people have, it's fine. So basically, there's one episode where everything is based on how you are rated socially. So I have, if I have a bad experience with Duda, I start rating her. I give her a zero. So you have to rate people from 0 to 5. And so Duda's rating is the average of everybody's experiences with her. And that's kind of how we live our lives a little bit, right? When you're in school, you want to be with the cool kids because then everybody's going to rate you a 5-star. Or you want to be good at soccer because everybody's going to rate you a 5-star. You don't want to be the kid who does nothing because then you won't fit in, right? And it's hard to put all this pressure on ourselves, even as we're kids, right? So let's try to pay attention to our kids to not put that much pressure on them also, because it is a world of pressure we're living in, right? And we're going to get to... Okay, so I'm going to read a bunch of Ecclesiastes verses. I'm not reading them in order exactly, so I am... Okay, oh yeah, yeah. So Solomon, right? Solomon, sorry. Solomon was Cristiano Ronaldo plus Donald Trump. It would be the equivalent of those two together. No. Or if you guys don't know Cristiano Ronaldo, maybe Tom Brady would make more sense, right? Tom Brady plus Donald Trump. So what? He had the time to do the experiment. He had all of the resources. He had all the power he needed. He had the money, the fame. He could have all the pleasures he wanted. He had the knowledge. And he could leave a legacy. So that's all of the things you can possibly want to find the meaning of life if you're looking at a human perspective, right? That's all of the things you might want. I mean, Israel was living a time of prosperity. They had just conquered the promised land. Everything was okay. So he had all the... He wasn't fighting. They weren't fighting anymore. So he had all the time in the world to think about stuff. He had the resources. Israel was rich. He was the law. You know? He wasn't Trump, because Trump has to... You know, the Congress has to pass the law, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And no, he just said, okay, I think I want to... build a road here. And okay, the road is built. There's no questions asked. Everybody just did what he said. Isn't that the dream of everyone? Right? Okay, now I want 1,000 cookies. And 1,000 cookies will just poop. All right. Right? Or no, I want all of the cars of the world here. So everybody would bring all the cars. Okay, maybe that wouldn't happen. But anyways, you get the feeling. He could do pretty much anything he wanted to. Right? So we're going to read a little from his story. All right, so I'm reading. It's going to be a little hard to follow, so if you just want to listen, it's fine. I'll give you the references later. It says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. That's Ecclesiastes 1, 12 and 13. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. That's Chapter 2, verse 1. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in my labor. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. So basically, this guy, he set his heart to find out what was good on earth. Right? He said, okay, I have the time, I'm doing this, I'm running this experiment, and I'm denying nothing to myself. So I'm absolutely trying everything there is to find out what really is good for me. Right? And he was wiser than anyone who ruled before him. Together. Can you imagine that? Like, he was more powerful than everyone in Jerusalem before him together. That means David and all the crew before him. And David was a huge king, right? Very wise king. So imagine Solomon. I mean, he would have won the... I don't know what's the prize for intelligence. That's the Nobel Prizes. Thank you, Andrew. So I clearly wouldn't win that, right? Andrew might one day. So he would have won all the Nobel Prizes because he was the wisest guy, right? All the Nobel Prizes, all the glory of being the smartest man on earth would be there. He said, but then Okay, let me. Yeah. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of our lives. So basically, he was singing Switchfoot, right? Life is short, I want to live it well. That's what he was saying. I wanted to see that. So he tried with wine, but he didn't try like nonsense, you know, like drink, 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 pass out, die. No, he didn't do that, right? Because he wanted to be smart. So he wanted to see if that was really the real deal, if that was worth it. So he experimented everything that there could be. But he guided his mind with wisdom, thinking, is this really what life is about? Is this really what's going to, you know, fill what I need? Is this really going to fulfill my, what did I read before? The eternity that is set into my heart. He was trying. He was trying really hard. And he had everything to do that. So why not, right? I amassed, oh, that was chapter 2, verse 3. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers. So he had like the X Factor set in his castle, you know? The Voice. He had all those shows running in the castle. And where did I stop? Yes. And a harem. Harem, is that how you pronounce that? Yeah? Okay. As well. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. So he had everything. Everything you could possibly imagine, he had. Everything you could humanly ask for, he had. You know, Christ, when Christ was talking about the trees of the field, he said that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, in all of his glory, so he was pretty too, right? Come on, he had everything. And then, the translation in English is different from the Portuguese, but I'll give a free translation of the Portuguese version of a verse, the verse 25 of chapter 2. He asks, and who enjoyed food and pleasures more or better than I did? So, really, who could have eaten a better meal than he had? Or who could have had a better wine than he had? No one. Like, no one could ask for what he had. Right? And yet, he says in chapter 2, verse 11, he said, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Whoa. Right? Like he had everything. And he really wanted to figure out the meaning of everything. Right? And he had the time, the resources, the will to do that. Right? And he said, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, when I looked at all of these things, all of my intelligence, all of my... Oh. Da-da-da. 1 second. Yeah, okay, I didn't mention... You can read the first three chapters of Ecclesiastes at home. It's a good read. He says also that he ventured himself in architectural projects. He built gardens. So he did whatever you can imagine. So, and yet, when he looked at all he had done, he saw that it was meaningless. That's why I like to call Solomon the first postmodernist. Because what is postmodernism? Oh, nothing makes sense. Life is meaningless. Yeah, the guy said like, I don't know how many years ago. John could help me, maybe 4,000 years ago. Right? So the guy said that 4,000 years ago, and the guys think they're postmodernists saying that everything is meaningless. Nothing makes sense. So just enjoy your day. That's what Solomon said, right? Like 4,000 years ago. If you just take a look on what is under the sun, that's what you're going to come up with. Right? What temperature in Fahrenheit does water boil? Anyone knows? 212? Okay, in Celsius it's easier because it's 100. You can't miss it. It's 100. Right? So water boils at 100 Celsius. If I said to Pete, hey Pete, man, I did another experiment and I found out that water actually boils at 50 Celsius. What would you say to me? You're crazy. You're stupid, right? It's been proved over and over and over and over again that it's 100. Water boils at 100. That's period. No discussion with that. Right? That's an, experiments work like that. Right? You test, you test, you test, 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 and then you have the same result over and over and over and over again. Isn't that right? Right. And that's not his only conclusion. He goes on to saying, no one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. So, who here knows the name of five of your great, 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 great grandparents? You know? No. I thought so. I didn't think so. Yeah. I said many great to make sure no one would remember. Yeah, because we don't remember, right? And will our great, 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 great kids remember us? Probably not. So what's the meaning of it all? That's what Solomon was wondering. Because there's no meaning. It's just meaningless. It's just chasing the wind. I mean, that's what you're doing. Okay, that means I have to be done soon. That's true. Yeah. She's making fun of me. That's okay. I can take that. That's fine. I said 3 hours, right? We're not even the first one. Okay, so he said that. No one will remember. No one will remember me 300 years from now, right? 300 years from now, will it matter the car you're driving today? Honestly, will it matter what shirt were you wearing? What shoes were you wearing? What makeup did you have on? Where did you go? Will it matter that you went to Rome or to Paris or to... Who cares, right? So why do we spend so much time on our lives thinking about that stuff? Right? What are we searching for, truly? What are we truly searching for? If that's where we spend all of our efforts. What are we doing with our lives? Because lives are short. We want to live it well. We don't want to be unhappy. But we don't want to chase the wind, either. We don't want to look back and say, oh, life was worthless, meaningless. Because that will be very bad, right? That would be terrible to look back at your life and say, oh, man, I did everything wrong. I didn't use the time I had. I didn't value the people I should have. You know, I wasted my time on so many vain things. In Portuguese, a translation of what Solomon says is, it's the vanity of vanities. That's what people are running after these days, right? That's what I'm running after often in my life. And that's why I have to pull the brake and rethink it through, right? Rethink it through. Because we don't want to be meaningless. No one wants to be meaningless. We want to matter. We want to have impact. And we don't want to go away. We don't want to. We have eternity set in our hearts. And we don't want to be frustrated, right? There's a very funny song in Portuguese that the guy started with a philosophical question. Brazilians will know it's from Papas da Língua. And the guy says, help me out if I forget. Let me think in Portuguese. He says, look out, that star in the sky. Do you think that there's anyone looking at it? And then he says, look, infinity is so cool. I wonder what comes next. So it's a very deep philosophical question, right? That's how it goes. That's how it starts. And then the guy couldn't come up with anything more philosophical. And he says, oh, I'd better let it go. And then he starts singing a love song for a girl. But he didn't want to throw that verse away because it was so good, you know? Wondering about what comes after eternity. And then he says, oh, I'll never get there. I'll never get to the answer. He said, oh, I better let it go. And then he starts singing to a girl. Everybody wonders about eternity. It's so visible, right? You can see in a pop singer in Brazil that doesn't make any more success today. You know, it was successful like, I don't know, 10 years ago. So, I had more to read, but let me see. Okay, I'll read a little more, one more. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving which they labor under the sun? Right? So it's a very bad spot Solomon is putting all of us in. Why? Because this experiment has been done by someone with more resources and power than all of us ever going to have. Combined. Can anyone disagree with that? Hardly, right? Like, the guy had more than all of us are ever going to have together. So are you really going to live to repeat and say, hey, I found out that water boils at 50 Celsius? Because that's what people have been trying to do forever. Like, forever. Right? They've been trying to find what can fit the eternity that's set in their hearts. And the answer, Solomon is saying, there's nothing under the sun. There's nothing under the sun that can do that. So think it through. And now the song's by Switchfoot. This song, I really enjoy it. It's called Meant to Live. And it says, we want more than this world's got to offer. We want more than the wars of our fathers. And everything inside screams for second life. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Everything inside of us screams for more. And this song I really love. It's called The Beautiful Letdown. And it says, it was a beautiful letdown the day I knew that all the riches in this world, that all the riches this world had to offer me would never do. It was a beautiful letdown. Because that's when I found out that I really actually don't need any of those. I don't really need any of those. In a world full of bitter pain and bitter doubt, I was trying so hard to fit in, until I found out that I don't belong here. Let me tell you, you don't belong in this earth. You know that feeling for eternity in your heart? That's not there in vain. God has set that in your heart because He has a plan to live with us in eternity. And nothing in this world is going to satisfy that feeling you have inside of you. Because that's nothing of this world that is going to satisfy that. I really like an illustration by St. Augustine. He uses to say, I'll translate it into another metaphor later. I told you, 3 hours. And he says, like, it's like we are watching everything. We are watching things, and everything is illuminated, right? You can see everything. So there's light. You can see everything. But you're just looking at things that are illuminated. So you're looking at this table, and this table doesn't have light. It's being illuminated by something else, right? That's how people live this life. And we are actually always ignoring the light that is being cast here, the source of the light. That's how people are living their lives. They are enjoying food and cars and resources and everything that God has made, but they're not thinking about the source of those things. And you know how sad that is? Here's an illustration how sad that is. It's like, imagine your favorite food. Imagine right now your favorite plate of food. Ice cream. All right. Every person has a different one. For me, it's churrasco. It's meat. Imagine you're smelling delicious meat. And to live without God, it's like to only be able to smell the meat, but never actually eating it. That's what you're missing out if you don't know the Lord. You're looking at all the stuff and it's great, but hey, you haven't seen God. And He is awesome. And imagine if you could only smell the meat and not eat it, or your favorite food. That would be terrible, right? But now imagine if you could experience the source of all that prettiness, of all that beauty. Oh man, you'd give anything to do that. Right? That's the craving we have for God. And that's how people try to fill it with things of this world. And it's just sad Because they're missing out on the best. Right? So if you're missing out on the best, don't. So if what happens under the sun doesn't make sense, Revelation 4:1, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read it, okay? Just because it's going to be really fast. You don't have to open it. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard the first time speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." So if nothing makes sense under the sun, there's a door open in heaven for you saying, "Hey, come here. I know this doesn't make any sense, but if you come with me, I'll show you what will come next, and then you'll start understanding stuff." That's what God's calling you for today. So we better look up. So I just wanted to read Isaiah 53 as dry preps. So this is proven to be written at least 600 years before Christ. The manuscripts of the Dead Sea, yeah, were found, and it's scientifically been proved that this was written at least 600 years before Christ came. So, he had, this has been written about Christ, right? "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, humanly speaking. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." So that's Christ. And that's Christ paying the price for you and saying, "Hey, I love you." And you know why are we so scared of not being loved? Because we think that people don't truly know us. So how can they love us if they don't know us? Right? That's why we're scared. Because, oh, okay, my dad loves me, but my dad doesn't know me. He doesn't know who I am when I'm alone. He doesn't know all of my heart. Right? So how can he love me truly? How can I be truly loved if he doesn't know me, or if my mom doesn't know me, or my friend doesn't know me? Let me tell you something. God knows you completely, in and out, all the cells, how many hair you have. And he came to say, and he died on a cross to say that you are truly loved. You are. So you are truly loved. You know how much that's worth? That's worth dying for. That's what God said. "I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to pay for your sins. So you don't have to pretend who you are anymore. You don't have to pretend someone you're not." And then the last sentence becomes easy. "I will carry a cross and a song where I don't belong." And that's what we're doing here. We're carrying our cross and our song where we don't belong. And we may be looked at. We may be pointed at. Oh, these Christians. And we may be labeled. We don't care. The sequence of this song says, somebody help me if you know and I don't. We are the church of the dropouts, the losers, the sinners. That's who we are. I mean, don't kid yourself. We are no Tom Brady, no Bill Gates, no Solomon, right? We're just sinners on our knees. But you know, he is great. He is great. He's great enough to accept us, to love us, to take care of us every step of the way. And there's just so many testimonies we could share. We could be here, we could actually be here 3 hours and over if we started sharing stories of how much God has done in our lives. And if I called each of you believers here, that would be so many unbelievably believable stories, right? so many great stories of how God has taken care of us. And it's just over and over and over again. So he laid his life for us. And that's what we're going to watch now with Drime. So you guys can come up. Bajivir Drimers. And then right after that, I just have some words to close. So can you, Smitty, can you lower this? So that is a bad representation of Isaiah 53. It is. It's a lousy one compared to what happened. So Christ came and he died for us. And he died and it was way uglier than this. Luca's not even hurt. Where's Luca? He's fine, right? Christ wasn't. Wasn't at all. So that's Isaiah 53. He came and he loved you. And he said, that's how I truly love you. That's how you know. He can't take that back. That's already happened. So he loves you truly, deeply, to the core of yourself. That's how he loves you. So knowing that, what can we do? And I'll just read those two very quickly. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. I guess I read those last year as well. Here it is. It says 11. Yep. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So if you don't know that God that we're presenting here this morning, we urge you to do that. To do that with all your heart, because he promised if you do that, he will not turn you away. And it's awesome. I mean, I'm here, every Brazilian staffer is here to say that. And every church member, true believer, is always ready to say that. And for who is a believer, Colossians, we're reading verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. So, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So, once you know all of this reality we've been sharing this morning, don't live your life worried about stuff here. You know, let God take care of that. Matthew, I think it's Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added to you. So let the Lord take care of you, and he does take care. I am today a missionary in Brazil, and the Lord has given me support. Like, I am not a hired employee, but believers in the Lord through believers, has been taking care of me financially, and I can praise him for that. And so many people can give you so many testimonies of how God's been working, how he's been sustaining us, even through hardship. Yeah, I could go on talking about how God has worked, but let's talk later. Let's talk over lunch, over pizza, because that's better, right? Because then you won't be seated looking at